This is the SOD Show Listeners Questions, part two of two. If you haven't heard the first episode, then go back, not last week, but the week before, and listen to that one first. Because if you don't, this part will make no sense. And if you're subscribed in iTunes or Spotify or one of them, when you come back here, this should start to play from this point. You're back. That's great. Ladies and gentlemen, the SOD Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SOD Show Garden Podcast.
It's all good, and I appreciate why proper broadcasting houses wouldn't allow what may be deemed unprofessional bits and bobs air.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make a boo-boo at things, how do I phrase that better? You can either pretend to be the BBC, which is impossible, or you can just be yourself, which is what I do.
This is it.
Unfortunately, for some, this is essentially it, yeah.
We got a question which says, how did you start? It says landscaping, but actually, I don't want to hear that story. I want to hear how you started gardening, just because I don't think you ever mentioned it before.
How I started gardening? Is this a mic-take question?
Yeah, well, no, actually, the question was how you start landscaping, but I just wanted to hear the story underneath the bed plant swing. Because you mention it now and again.
That's the mic-take joke. I said before, and I actually have it here, hold on, I have it on my desk, but I read a book that I still have in my library to this day, and it's a 1927 book written by a guy called H.H. Thomas. And the reason why I bought this book, not obviously in 1927, they used to have an old book sale up near where I lived, and I'd cycle up on my bike. They were really good gardening books. Advice in them was technically far superior than anything I could buy in a then modern day bookshop. But it was technical, but you could also understand it. And I don't know why they had such great gardening books, but the other side of it is they didn't come with black and white photographs or colour photographs. They came with hand-drawn illustrations, and they only cost 10 or 20p.
Right.
I've got 50. Yeah. I can have 3 books. It's amazing. So I bought this one, but I used a quote in a talk recently. In a 1927 book by H.H. Thomas called An Easy Guide to Gardening, on page 16, he says, commence by digging the ground 2 foot deep. So I did. And I planted the seeds in the bottom of this trench and filled the whole thing in. And they were radish seeds. Okay. So they never saw the light of day, or at least I waited until, and I hoped and I waited. And of course, they never did. But seeds did grow on the top of the freshly dug soil.
Sure.
Then I had to try and identify the seeds that were on the top level of the soil, which I didn't know were not radish, but I didn't know which ones were.
Right.
And that was the kickoff of it. And at the same token, the plants under the bed is a true story, but I would have had cacti and succulents and bits and bobs growing. I think I took them from there because Mom found them, and I put them on top of the wardrobe. I had them in the base of old Coca-Cola plastic bottles. And when I put the water in, I'd fill it to the top because I couldn't entirely reach on top of the wardrobe. I was standing on the edge of a bunk bed. No two things can occupy the same space at the same time, etc. And the composty water would come down on top of my and my brother's clothes. So I took them out of there and put them down into my dad's garage, which had the 3 windows over the top and a set of double doors for parking a car in. And of course, the plants started to lean towards the light. And so by 6 years of age, I could identify plant weeds mainly by their seed leaves.
Yeah.
And I knew what phototropism was. When you don't know what something is, by the time you actually get to that answer,
yeah,
it takes a fair bit to go to the index of a book and try and find the unknown name for what is a plant leaning towards light. Mm-hmm. Did the first garden, age 9, and the rest is history.
Yeah. We won't go into the rest of the history.
No, don't.
Talk about design quickly. Mm-hmm. Would you ever consider designing a Chelsea flower show garden? And if not, why?
That's a tricky question. I think I would be foolish to say I wouldn't consider doing one. There's a lot behind the scenes to making a Chelsea flower show garden if you remove the garden itself. Mm-hmm. And the design and the construction of, if you just take that out of it, the amount of work that goes into making that happen,
yeah,
with a benefactor in place or a sponsor, as they are now known. And I think primarily Chelsea will have 3 tick boxes for you to enter. Is the design good enough? Will it look good on paper? Have you built, or somebody who is used to building gardens, your contractor, and primarily before any of that starts, have you got the money to make it all happen? Mm-hmm. Without the money, the picture stays in your head and the contractor doesn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
Somebody came up to me and said, hey, we've got a couple of hundred thousand. We'd like to give it to you. Would I be able to get there? Yes. Have I actively gone looking for a partner to do that? Then no. Will I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I've not really given much thought to that. It's not that I don't see that I see myself below or above or on par. That's not up for question. I think it's just a case of, if garden submissions for Chelsea are granted by usually about September time, I think it's the second week in September, you would want to have your designs and pretty much everything else ready by the January, February or March that year.
Yeah.
And so when you then take in the sponsor bit of it, that's got to happen almost the year before.
Yeah.
Because you can't design a garden unless you know how much money you got to spend. Unless you're Kate Gold, in which case, what did she say to me? She found 18 grand under a sofa.
I did it.
She was joking, of course, but she was referring to the one that she did, I think it was in 17 or 16, where she went up a couple of stories, but that was self-funded. And you talk to Kate, you'll realise how hard it is.
Yeah.
So, there's a bit to it.
That's one of the good things your podcast actually shows, is the behind the scenes of that sort of thing. Like, I've learned a lot from listening to your podcast about what actually goes on.
Well, I'm kind of the thinking that, like, everybody knows. Don't just get up out of bed and decide, I think I'll start building a garden next week.
Yeah.
Two of the Sideshow listeners, I think they're a pretty clever bunch. I'll go back to what I was saying about when you decide to hold hands with the Sideshow, press the subscribe button thing. We're kind of in bed together. We're in on the journey together. You're the listener. I'm the microphone holder. They're the Don. They're the what makes it amazing, brilliant, or... I think some will put up the set of curtains to an extent. Maybe, I don't want to speak on the listener's behalf, but I think that's what warms them to a Kate, for example.
Yeah.
And I think it's also what makes that interview better than the next one, or I prefer that one more.
Yeah.
Again, the fact that she chooses to give me that answer is something I've no control over, nor do I go prodding for.
No.
I'm not a news reporter. I've said this before to people who are new to the such or coming on, thinking of coming on as a guest. I'm not question time,
no.
Politics, radio. I've nothing to gain. It's just a conversation. There's been one or two gardens in there that were done at Chelsea in 2018 that were for charity, if I remember correctly. The epilepsy one in particular. And you know, you realise the amount of people who got together to make that garden happen. And when I read other stories about it, not to take away from the designer or the garden in any way, and any of them, but when I read about them, Kate's or somebody else's. It always reads they're about to be the MC at some Oscars award ceremony. And such and such and such has been a promoter of horticulture, designing and working in the industry for the last 20 years. Yeah. Look at this cake that just popped out of the microwave. And it's never that. Right. It's never. Anybody who takes a photograph, some rapper married to a supermodel, I don't know, takes a photograph of himself and sticks it out on Instagram with some love life quote at the bottom. You have arguments on garden bills. I've done the show gardens, as you well know. Jimmy brought you the wrong plant or a stem broke, and but that's what makes show gardening amazing.
But that's also good to hear that from guests, which wouldn't go out on BBC or you wouldn't hear generally. It wouldn't get written down in a magazine, would it?
When you're a radio DJ and you're told to interview ex-designer on one hand, then there's only a certain amount of questions you can ask. And invariably there are, where did you get the inspiration for your garden? How did you get into gardening? What do you see yourself doing in after Chelsea 2018 or Tatton 2017, whatever the case may be? Because that's all of the questions that you can ask.
Yeah.
And when you give, say, radio DJs, for want of a better term, but when you give a radio DJ a John Lydon or a Wilson Pickett or whoever is the rock star that you like, then they're able to say, well, here's the questions that I know how to ask because I was in a band when I was 16 and I know how things go wrong and I know what makes a number one hit and I know the undertones and John Peel and that story and I've heard that bandied about because I wanted to get into radio and that's what you do. And in my case, I'm probably a little bit the freak in that this thing that I do in my spare time. People seem to like it and I don't entirely get it because it's got so many incorrect things about it. But then people seem to like that as well. And I'm going, no, you're not supposed to. That's the way it should be done. There's the lads doing it properly over there. But I know how to build gardens. So I won't accept when people say to me, oh, we built it and it was follow the yellow brick road journey.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. And I know how to build gardens properly. And I don't think it goes always plain sailing. I'm not trying to find the thing that goes wrong ever. As I said to you, I'm not a question time.
No.
But I don't think you can pull the wool over my eyes. Or as I said to Tim Richardson about his book, there's a reason why the Sideshow's only interviewed two authors this year. Him, Tim Richardson, and Charles Dowding.
Yeah.
And that's because some of the garden books that I've read are things that I won't recommend that people put their hand into their pocket, pull out their hard-earned cash,
yeah,
and spend it on. And if they did do it, they'd just turn around and go, Donegan, you're a moron. You're a moron. You told us to buy this. You gave us the Emperor's New Clothes. You're a charlatan. You sold yourself for a bag of donuts.
Yeah.
You can't do that. And I'll go back and say it's a chat with people who have very good qualities about them before they come on. And so because of that, it becomes quite an easy job to have a conversation with somebody who knows that you know your shizzle and you're on a level already.
Yeah.
I think that's probably it.
That's what makes it work.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got some really good questions. I've got some awful questions, so I'll get through them. Cats or dogs?
Oh, dogs.
Custard creams or digestive biscuits?
Never a digestive. And on a custard cream, always bite the top layer off, scrape the custard bit out of the middle, and then eat the bottom bit.
Crikey, that was an in-depth answer.
Yeah.
Arsenal, the Beatles, or plants?
Oof. Wow. Jeez, that has to be the... Oh, God. That's like saying you can... Oh, no. Ask me that slowly again.
Arsenal?
Yeah.
The Beatles, or plants?
Oh, Jesus, lads. Oh, I'm not sure I can do that.
Gotta pick one, mate. Yeah. People want to know.
Well, I've been an Arsenal fan all of my life. And I was born in an Arsenal household. And the Beatles I think when I was 6 or 7, we had a vinyl player in our bedroom. And I think the lads chipped in. At the time, Tony and Jackie, I don't think, were born. So there were five siblings then. They chipped in and got me a Beatles vinyl. I think it was a compilation, Rock and Roll Music Volume 1. And I still have it to this day. So that'll put that in context. And then you've obviously got plants. That's
probably the hardest question I think we've had.
That is the hardest, Cathy and Heathcliff, Romeo and Juliet, see how she leans that cheek upon that hand-esque question I have ever had in my lifetime. But I'd probably have to go with plants. And I feel guilty.
Yeah, you're getting complaints now.
I know, but I don't. yeah, hats off. That's a good question.
We've got a couple more questions left. Like Arsenal, you often mention Arsenal in your podcast. What makes a boy from Ireland support a London team? Why don't you mention a more local team like Ballyboro GFC?
Like Ballyboggle GFC.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Well, Ballyboggle Gaelic Football Club are a Gaelic football club, so I was a hurling man anyway, or more of a hurling man, which is the other Irish sport that's played a lot, but it's not played in the town where I live. You'd have to go to the next town over, and it's pretty dangerous. Building gardens with broken fingers and busted boys isn't the most logic thing, so I miss it dearly still to this day, and I wish I could play, but apparently when I played, there was a 50% chance of me hitting either the slitter, which is the round ball, or hitting the man. And my old hurling manager mentioned to me that they were unsure which it would be on a very regular basis. To say I was enthusiastic on the pitch is probably an understatement, and you can take that on every level that you want. But I loved it dearly, and I missed it. But the Arsenal-Ireland connection, funnily enough, a conversation I had with Toby Buckland, also a big Arsenal fan, but Liam Brady was just, you know, him, David O'Leary, Frank Stapleton, Pat Jennings at the time. We haven't had an Irish player play for Arsenal in a while. This actually came up in conversation on Andrew Mangan, who does the Arsenal podcast. There was such an Irish contingent over there. And so from a country with a population of then about 4.1 million, now about 4.5, it was kind of phenomenal. You see Liam Brady doing that left footer. My sister was born in London anyway. Dad used to live in Croydon with Mam. He was in the wine trade. And I don't know where Croydon is in London. If you put me into it, I'd go, oh, that's it, you know. But you know I can get lost in Gatwick.
Sure.
Gatwick sweet shop. How far away is Croydon from what would have been then Highbury Stadium anyway?
What are you asking me for?
Well, you live in the bigger island off near where I live.
I'm in Essex. Can we just clear this up?
Well, Google it. Hold on, put it into... Well, I call my dad. I'll call my dad and ask him.
Right. Hold on.
Croydon to Highbury. I'm sure some of your listeners know this. Put in some interval.
Here we go.
Put in some elevator music.
Highbury. Okay. No, it's the wrong Highbury Stadium.
How many Highbury Stadiums are there?
There's one up north, apparently. Who would have thought?
There you are.
About an hour away.
About an hour from Croydon to Highbury. Mm-hmm. Well, who have you got in London? Crystal Palace, Fulham, Arsenal. The other team from London with the white shirts that Bamboo Kane plays for. And I don't know. It's just one of those things. Everybody else was Liverpool and Man United. And they had a decent Irish contingent as well.
Yeah.
Well, Ballyball GFC, they do sterling work in this village. They really, really do. And Ballyball is a small town. It's about €20 to the nearest bus stop from where we live. And the far side of the road is fields as far as the eye can see. It looks like the front cover of a Neil Young album.
Yeah. Because the question ends in 2010, they were the Adult Football League champions.
Who asked this question?
The last time Arsenal were league champions was 2004.
That's very clever. Yeah.
Tim Howe was that one.
Cheeky brat. To do great work in the village, but I'm also in one of those jobs where I love dearly, one, wouldn't stop for the world. Eat, sleep and drink it, and have done all my life, and humbled and privileged that I get to do what I do for a living. The fact that people listen to the, can I call it the pet project, that became a little bit more vocal, is that a polite way to put things?
Yeah.
It's slightly baffling, considering all of the infidelities and things that are wrong with it.
Yeah.
The, as versus better produced broadcasting house productions. So I tend to miss midweek games at home and weekends up until it starts to get dark in the evening times, when there you go, and they can only play them then at the weekends.
Yeah.
And I can't remember how many weeks away from home I've done this year, but it's been a lot. You wouldn't want me on any type of local committee, because I don't think I'd be here a whole lot. So when I get home, and I am at home, I'm working at home. And if I'm working at home, you're not going to see me till 8 o'clock at night anyway. And I'm usually gone about 6 o'clock in the morning. So it doesn't leave a whole lot of time. But that's a very good question. Yeah, I hope I answered that okay,
though. Yeah, it does. It also answered my question why I just sat through a football game with him, because I'm not very good at football, nor do I know many of the football references in the Sod Show.
What are
they? But Sod Show is literally my learning of football. That's where I get all my information from. Then go down the pub and tell the lads. Where'd you find that out? Podcast.
Gardening podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, final big question, and it's sure. It's an obvious one, I suppose, and I know the answer's going to be mixed, but best guest.
Oh.
You don't have to say me, obviously. We all know that already, so you don't have to go into that. So second best guest is the question.
That's up there now with the Arsenal plants or Beatles question, isn't it? Yeah, it is. That's crazy. I can't do it. I think I would sit here, and you may as well tell me to pick cake out of a favourite cake out of a shop. I'm that kid in the cake shop when you say you can only pick one, and you're going, ooh, that one, no, that one, no, that one over there, can I have two? No, okay, that one, no, I actually meant, and that's me on press repeat on this one for for very good reason. So I'll answer it quite diplomatically, and what I will tell you is the episodes that have been put up for award, which was with, bear with me, that was the 5,000 Poppies story with Philip Johnson, who I think 2 years beforehand, was it? I'll open the correction on this, that was in 2016. I think 2 years before that, he'd won Golden Best in Show at Chelsea, then came back and did this phenomenal installation of, was called 5,000 Poppies. There was actually 325,000 of them, hand crocheted, which took up half of an Airbus. And they did it all the way from the back of Royal Hospital, Chelsea.
Yeah.
The barracks itself, the quarters where the lads stay, all the way up until the back of the floral marquee, and it was just colossal. You could hear a pin drop in the place. We got to sit out, myself and Brian at the time, got to sit out in the middle of all of those poppies and chat with Philip. It's just an honour. So that was 16. 17 was, for the Garden Media Guild Awards, this is entrance, was Mark Gregory. And Mark is the most medalled person in the history of the Royal Horticultural Society. I think he says it, that if he puts them back to back, he spent 3.5 years of his working life at the time in Chelsea, in the Chelsea grounds. So you've only got a 3-week build, so divide it into 3.5 years, that's 156 weeks. That's just, it's lunacy.
Yeah.
And in 2018, it was Kate Gold. Against that, the most listened to episode of the Sideshow ever is Charles Dowding, which I haven't put up for award. And the aforementioned Fisher Tomlins, Bassons, Joe Thompson's, they're double episodes, so they're the only reason I didn't put them up. And how the episodes that went up for the GMGs were chosen was, I actually went to 3 or 4 of the lads and said, pick an episode of the Sideshow this year.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say 9 out of 10 cats came back with that one answer. I kind of see it as that I'm the guy who bakes the cake, and I just hope that you like it.
Yeah.
But because in some cases making it is, you have a, go to a party and you, or make a party or do a thing or you do a painting, and you might have had a bad morning that morning, so when you look at what you made, you're reminded of that morning, not of what's in the thing. And my brain is a, as well you know, is a it's a bit of a roller coaster, loop de loop at the best of times. And but I find it hard to go, I like that one, because invariably, I don't know, somebody put beans near my breakfast or something, and I, oh, for God's sake, really, seriously, please, that's after a run for me, my socks are on inside out or something oddball, and I make that thing and everybody says wonderful, and I go, really?
Yeah.
You know this? Yeah, it's crazy. I would have thought it was that one.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, so I tend to ask others. Yeah. Yeah, is that a sufficient answer that gets me out of jail?
That is 100%.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Thanks very much, mate, for talking about the Sod Show.
Yeah, well, it was either that or ask myself questions, wasn't it?
Wouldn't have been as, well, it would have been a bit, yeah. I probably will do that in the future. Skinny Jean Gardner, Skinny Jean Gardner. Only because I like hearing my own voice, so.
Yeah, well, aid from Agents of Field. His video on you was pretty good, I thought.
He's a good boy.
except for he included me in it a lot, which was interesting, but to say the least. No. Thanks to everybody for sending in the questions. I didn't think we'd
got a good few questions, mate.
Yeah, well, they're the ones that were allowed to be asked.
I mean, there was more. Yeah, obviously explicit ones. I couldn't obviously add that.
You couldn't ask that one over there. That's just rude.
Yeah, that one's about that calendar you did. We won't talk about that.
You definitely couldn't ask the other one that's not about the calendar either. I'd get into trouble with my dad for that one. That's if I answered it.
For a whole of this, I've been trying to think how you end your podcast, and I just know at the end you say, for everything else, sideshow.com.
I think it's at Sideshow on Twitter, Facebook.com, yeah. Sideshow.com. Sometimes there's an outro greeting in Irish dropped in the middle of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, pleasure, Lee. Thanks, brother.